Good morning. Happy Father's Day. So, you will know this when you become a parent. Alethea, my other daughter, she is in a skating team. So what we do is we have carpool. So basically, the ice rink is actually quite far away. It's about 45 minutes an hour drive away. So every week, all the parents take turn. And forever, now, I am referred to as Alethea's father. I don't have a name myself. You know, because, you know, all the girls, basically it's like, oh, today's Alethea's father is driving. So I'm Alethea's father in the skating team. Nobody knows me as by my name. I'm only, you know, Alethea's father. And, you know, it happened because it's our culture today. We like to refer to people by their first name. But imagine if this happened, say, in England, like 20 years ago, not that far ago. So people, the coaches and the parents won't call Alethea, Alethea. He'll call her what? Miss Chan, right? There are still pretty formal school that, you know, wait, have ever any of your teachers call you by your last name? Good. Go to the biscuit. You know, so people usually only do that when you're in trouble, you know. Miss Chan. You know, people, but, you know, back in, you know, in the more formal days, you know, back in the more, not that many years ago. I do remember, you know, either my teachers calling me my full name in English or in Chinese. You know, people do refer to each other by Mr. and Mrs. Chan, Miss Chan, by last name. We don't do that anymore. Not even in business. Which is nice and good. You know, I'm not saying that we all should start, you know, speaking and be very, you know, formal. It's nice to be friendly. But, you know, with every gain, there's something lost. What is lost is people don't really know who you are. So I become Alethea's dad. You know, if people, you know, at least call people by the, call Alethea Miss Chan, they will really natural for them to figure out, I'm Mr. Chan. You know, at least I have a name. Wrong period of time, we don't do that anymore. Something to to think about. Something to think about. Especially when you go back and look at our own history, and especially when you look at scripture. How we think of ourselves and how we think of the family, you know, how do we orient ourselves within our family and within society. So let's turn to today's passage. We just read those, but it is something that is very peculiar in a sense in the Bible. This is a case, if you know scripture, we know that Paul and Timothy are very, very close to each other. Paul, in the letters to 1st and 2nd Timothy, called Timothy my true son. We all know that Paul was never married, and therefore Paul has no biological son of himself. You know, we well know that Paul is single, naturally. So Timothy is the closest person that he can call a son, and he indeed think of Timothy as his son. And it began here, Acts 16, and we know. Do we want to read it again, or do we still, your finger is still at the page, right? Good. I'm not going to read it again. So this is this person Timothy, who was still pretty young. Pretty young actually is early 20s. Not, don't think of them as teenagers. Timothy was not a teenager back then. Okay, if you do the calculation, he's probably, by the time Paul died, Timothy was probably in the mid 30s. So this is the beginning of their journey together. So this probably, you're talking about Timothy in his 20s. Okay, not teenager. He's not a teenager. He's a grown man by our standard. By their standard, he is also a grown man, but he is a young man, as in a young teacher of the law. You know, young man to become a missionary, but not a young man in terms of, you know, not being matured and independent. And it says very clearly, he, Timothy, was the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek, which is a nice way to saying that his father was not a believer. We also later, if you read the book of 1 Timothy, you know that his grandmother was also a believer, on the maternal side. Paternal side, his father's side, was not from a believing family. Happens. It still happens today. We probably have friends whose one side of the family is a believer, the other side is not. Anybody knows? Show of hands. I think we all know somebody like that. Yeah, we all know somebody like that. So it's not something out of the ordinary. And he was a good Christian. Timothy was great. People like him. So Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. From that point on, you know, Paul wants to take Timothy. That is the beginning of Paul being the father to Timothy. When we think of, and what did Paul do? Paul took him and circumcised him. What is the meaning of that? Well, Paul gave Timothy an identity. From now on, Timothy would be considered a Jew. Circumcision become a Jew. He was not legally a Jew before that point. And you guys don't understand what I'm talking about. But if you look, if you just flip one page before that, what happened in chapter 15 of Acts? Now, chapter 15 is a very important chapter in the history of church. The history of the church, the global church. It is the council at Jerusalem. That is, all the Christian leaders come together in Jerusalem to talk about one topic. The topic is, does a Gentile, a non-Jewish believer, can he become a real Christian without circumcision in particular, and without following all the Jewish tradition in general? What happened is, before Acts chapter 15, there were people who went into Gentile places, who went all around to spread the gospel, and some of the people who are not Jews, some people who were not Jews, became believers. They believe in Jesus. So there are also a bunch of Jews who are believers. And the Jewish believers think that in order to become a Christian, you need to become a Jew and observe all the Jewish law, because, you know, the Christian belief comes from a Jewish background, right? So, therefore, to be a real Christian, you need to become a Jew in order to become a real Christian. And at the Council of Jerusalem, they talk about this. They talk about whether Gentile believers can become fully Christian, real Christian, without observing all the Jewish law. And the conclusion is, no, you don't. You know, Christians are Christians because we believe in Jesus Christ atoning for our sins, setting ourselves right. We have a relationship with God Himself through Jesus Christ, and we don't need to follow Jewish law for that to happen. Now, right? So this is the message that Paul and Silas, who is traveling with Paul, was carrying to all the churches around the world and say, you know what? Gentile Christians, you don't have to be circumcised. Gentile Christians, you will do well, you know, if you love one another, be in Christ, have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That is what is required of you. Not following all the Jewish law. You don't have to become a Jew. And then, write the next chapter. Now, here comes Timothy, who is half Jew, half Gentile. Now he circumcised him. What happened? Is Paul being completely inconsistent? Paul being a hypocrite? He doesn't practice what he preached. He was going around in Jerusalem advocating that, no, non-Jews, Gentiles, they don't need to be circumcised. And then turn around, oh, hey, Timothy, I like you. Why don't I circumcise you? What's wrong? Well, the thing is this. It becomes Timothy's identity. Timothy's have doubt about his identity because of the Jews around him. Also because his father is not a believer, but that is what a father do. A father give a person identity. We are missing that in our culture. When we say, let's look back, you know, look back in history, we all know the famous composer, musician, Bach, right? And if you study music at all, who study music? Who play an instrument? Who play an instrument have never played something that's written by Bach? Oh, wow, great. How about Mozart? If we think of Bach, Bach is a musician, Bach's son is a musician, Bach's brother is a musician, Bach's cousin is a musician. And if you look at Bach, you have to say it's J.S. Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach. That is the Bach, the most famous one. But there's so many different Bach. And at that time, to be a musician is to be a Bach, right? You know, this family becomes so prominent in the circle of music, is people just call, you know, being a musician, being a Bach. If you know the story of Mozart, you also know that, you know, where did Mozart learn to play the violin? From his father. Actually, his father's book on how to play the violin is still in print today. You can still buy it on Amazon. Written by Mozart's father. And that's how he teaches his son how to play the violin. And Mozart become a musician, possibly the greatest musician ever, because of his father. So bearing the name of Bach, bearing the name of Mozart, means something back then. Today, it means a lot less. But the father, regardless, is the person who gives identity to the family, especially to the children. Who you are. Because we don't call each other, we don't remember that we are the son of so-and-so. Well, in the old days, we can't even forget, because whenever you go out, he comes, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. That's how you introduce each other. You always know who your father is. Right? Anybody read The Lord of the Rings? That's how they talk about it, right? Everybody knows everybody's father. That's the name. You just don't call people by their first name, they call people by their whole full name in terms of this is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. Now, that orients people. That gives identity to people. By identity, I mean it tells you who you are. It tells you who you are. We are more and more becoming human doings. We are not human being anymore. When I ask you who you are, it's like, oh, I'm a software engineer. No, that's not who you are. That's what you do. Who are you? Oh, I'm a pastor. That's not who you are. That's your job, right? We are becoming human doing. We define ourselves by what we do. We really don't know who we are. We really don't know who we are. When we go out, just walk around. You know, people refer to you as your job. Once you go outside and work, you will know that nobody knows who you are. People only remember your job and your title. Jack Welch, former CEO of GE. No, that's not who he is. That's what he did. Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft. No, that's not who he is. That's what he did. We are all human doings. None of us are human beings. Being a father, make your children human beings. Tell them who you are. So here, Paul does something to Timothy that is irreplaceable. You are a Jew. You are a believer. You are my son, Paul's son. You are my true son. You have a earthly father who is not a believer. He's okay. He's not perfect. But from now on, you identify yourself as my disciple. As a Jewish disciple, this is who you are. It's not what you do, it's who you are. This is something that is lost, and we probably frown upon in today's world. I mean, when I was thinking about this sermon, you might or might not have heard about this story. In China, in Beijing, there was a young man who was involved in a traffic accident. And the first thing he said was, like, do you know who my dad is? Because his father is actually the chief of police in Beijing. So, do you know who my dad is? No, we don't like that. We don't like that. We know that is not right. You know, we know that it's not right to claim privilege because of who your father is. Okay. But we also, by not doing that, we also are doing the opposite. Is we forgot who we are with respect to our family. It should mean something. It should mean something that you are from the Wong family, you're from the Chen family, you're from the Ho family. It should mean something. And this is something that is lost. Especially for somebody like Timothy. You know, when, you know, your father didn't give it to you. Your father, most of us don't have that. So what is the next best thing? You know, we have, hopefully, most of us have father at home, some of us don't. I didn't grow up with a father, by the way. My father is still alive, but we were separated. I didn't grow up with my father. We were separated geographically and politically. Because of political reasons, we were separated geographically. So I didn't grow up with my father. I didn't live in the same house with my father until I was 13. Some of us, the father might not be a believer. Some of us, the father might be at work all the time. You don't get to talk to him at all. Happened to more families than you believe. So what do we do? Well, that is the next best thing. The next best thing is to have a father figure, right? A healthy father figure. And this is what Timothy found. Is Paul being a father figure, not his real father, but a father figure who gave him this identity, who gave him this thing that's missing in his life. You have something that's missing in your life. Timothy has something that is missing in his life, that was missing, that was his father not being a believer. It is a regret. It is a hole in Timothy's life. Paul offered him the next best thing is, I become your, I don't want to use that word, but your surrogate father, your adoptive father. And I, therefore, will give you your identity. Now, in the modern days, how does that work? Well, we do have that. We did have that. We are losing it. We have mentors, right? Especially professionally. In the old days, Mozart learned how to play the violin from his father. In the new age, probably not. Anybody learn how to play a musical instrument from your parents? Yeah, you miss a lot. Anybody knows? Wait. Anybody wants to learn what your father is doing and make that your career? No. Come on. Does anybody like, I want to become a doctor because my father is a doctor? Anybody want to say that? No, come on. You prove my point, right? We don't have that relationship with our father anymore. We don't have that. Now, therefore, we do need to replace that. And what does that happen? It becomes a mentor and especially if you are in the art world, the music world, that would be the most prominent. Is when you read, have anybody gone to a concert and read the bio of the musician? Okay, when you read the bio of somebody, what is the next line that replaces whose son it is? It is what school they've graduated from. When you think of that, in the old days, everybody followed in the father's footsteps and make the father's career their own career. That doesn't happen anymore. So we need to find a different way to identify ourselves. And since we are human doings, not human beings, the way to identify ourselves is, I went to MIT. I went to Harvard. I went to Juilliard School. I went to this school. Right? That become your identity. That become a second best. So go back. If you have a perfect father, the perfect father would have given you an identity that you're proud of. That is part of a father's job. If you have a perfect father, we would have been given an identity that we are proud of. We'd be proud to say that I'm the son of so-and-so, I'm the daughter of so-and-so. This is the way our family do things. I like it. This is our family's way. This is who I am. Well, unfortunately, a good chunk of our fathers are not perfect fathers. In fact, nobody is a perfect father. So we are all looking for replacement. We are all looking for compliments. We are all looking for those things. And in looking, those things, we're looking at different places. Some who are lucky will find a surrogate father, a father figure, that gives us what's missing in our life, like Timothy. Some of us who are lucky will have a mentor in our life. Maybe it's your pastor. Maybe it's a mentor in your work that help you find your orientation, help you define who yourself is, help you find your identity. But more and more, that's less likely because we don't form those kind of relationship at work or at school anymore. In the old time Chinese, how do we call the teacher? We call them Sifu. Sifu is a father. It's a father teacher. It's like a father to you. Your teacher is supposed to be like a father to you, right? That's just in Chinese. We don't have that in our schools anymore. But we still want it, so our identity become, I graduated from Harvard. I graduated from Princeton. I graduated from this school. I graduated from that school. That become your identity. Is that as good? Really? Is that as good as, you know, I am the son of this person whom I respect? So, what's the next thing that happened? So, father, not perfect father, surrogate father, surrogate institution as father, substituting institutions as father, substituting your school as father, substituting your work as your father. But that's one way. We do have a perfect father. We do. We all can have a perfect father. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven give us the identity. We are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. There's nothing that's going to change that. We are. We don't do Christian things. We are Christians. It's your identity. It's who you are, not what you do. Most of the time, we think of being a Christian as things that we do. No, it's not. It's who we are. It's not what we do. Coming to church is something we do, but being a Christian is what we are. It's who we are. So, you begin with a father. If you have a perfect father, congratulations. If you're a very good father, congratulations. In real life, that doesn't happen all the time. So, we walk through a long journey. We walk through a long journey. We want to find a surrogate father. We want to find a father figure. We want to father ourselves. We want to pad out our own resume, pad out our skill set, and become our own father. But I tell you, whoever your father is, perfect or not perfect, good or bad, whether you derive your identity from your father, and you get to know who you are by your father, and your journey to find a perfect father, I implore you, I hope that journey ends not in any earthly people, not in any earthly person, but the journey ends in when we find our Father in heaven. Then we find our true identity. Then we know exactly who we are. Then we know how to orient ourselves in this world. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't have the privilege to see that. But we do. And Mick, now if you know, that will make your life perfect, because that is the one perfect father. Bring that back home. If you have not perfect father, just don't say, no, Dad, you didn't do that for me. No, don't go home and say, Dad, you're such a terrible father, you didn't do that to me. No, but bring the grace of the perfect father into your family and make that your family's true identity. We are Christian and we have a perfect father and we know who we are. Therefore, we know how we orient where we are, how we orient ourselves in this very complex world. Let us pray.